Have you ever noticed how your shoulders tighten before your mind registers stress? How your stomach knows something's wrong before you can articulate why? Our bodies are constantly speaking to us in a language we've forgotten how to hear. Marion Woodman spent decades helping people remember this forgotten tongue, not through abstract theory, but through the lived experience of reconnecting body and soul. Her work bridges Jungian psychology with feminine spirituality, offering a path home to ourselves that feels less like learning something new and more like remembering what we've always known. Think of your body as an ancient library where every experience you've ever had is stored, not in words, but in sensation, tension, breath, and cellular memory. Research confirms what mystics have always known. Mind and body form an intricate intelligence network, far more sophisticated than we've been taught to believe. Yet most of us treat our bodies like unruly servants rather than wise teachers. We listen to our pets with more attention than we give our own physical signals. A cat meows and we immediately wonder what it needs. Our back aches for weeks and we pop a pill without asking what it's trying to tell us. This disconnection isn't accidental, it's cultural. We've been trained to override bodily wisdom in favor of mental control, to push through exhaustion, to ignore hunger or desire that doesn't fit our schedules. Our bodies hold wisdom you do not hear, grief you thought was forgotten, and joy you have never known. When we give them an hour daily, not to punish, but to listen, we encounter resistance and emotions stored in our tissues for years. These aren't obstacles, but doorways. Imagination lets us breathe into and release what no longer serves. We're all addicts in some form: perfectionism, work, approval seeking, worry, control. Addiction makes us powerless through unconscious repetitions that seem meaningful, but prove empty. We obsessively seek through ritual what can't be tangibly obtained: peace, love, wholeness. The woman scheduling spontaneity, the executive ignoring health warnings, the person trapped in binge-purge cycles, these aren't character flaws, but distorted attempts to provide what we truly need. Addiction masquerades as spiritual practice. It's rituals, counting calories, achieving perfect performance, seeking the next high, substitute for genuine connection. Yet addiction can become the pathway to healing. By asking, "What is my addiction trying to tell me?" we recognize these patterns as messengers. The compulsion to control reveals our terror of vulnerability. Perfectionism exposes our fear of being fundamentally unacceptable. Busyness masks our dread of stillness, where we'd face ourselves. Perfectionism becomes destructive when we deem ourselves unacceptable and less meeting impossible standards. In some Eastern cultures, artists deliberately introduce imperfections to avoid competing with divine perfection, a humility our culture has lost. Perfectionism ravages body, spirit, and relationships as we become our own worst critics, plagued by a sense of unreality because perfection doesn't allow for feeling. Living by ideals turns us into objects designed for efficiency rather than humans capable of weeping or singing our own songs. We become heroes carved in stone, impressive but lifeless. The antidote isn't lowering standards, but embracing our humanity, moving into our human unsuccess. Our imperfections often contain our greatest gifts. Childhood survival roles often replace our authentic selves. Children not loved for who they are learn only to please others. Deep rage emerges. Nobody ever saw me. The false self revolves around being nice or helpful, qualities that earn approval but smother authentic expression until we forget our true face. Shedding our masks brings profound relief. What a relief to be human instead of the god or goddess my parents imagined me to be. This transformation unfolds gradually, feeling authentic emotions, expressing unpopular opinions, setting boundaries, and choosing based on inner guidance rather than external approval. Finding your voice means expressing personal truth, regardless of other standards. Yet self-doubt and fear often silence us, strongest from within. One woman's dream revealed a starving bird in a black box, a forgotten part that only wanted to sing my song. Our authentic voice emerges when we discover and love the goddess lost within our rejected body. Unexpressed rage manifests as illness, while fear of anger creates emotional freezing, where feeling is frozen and the heart is closed. A life truly lived constantly burns away veils of illusion and what is no longer relevant, revealing our essence until, at last, we are strong enough to stand in our naked truth. Speaking truth may disrupt relationships, yet silence extracts a far greater cost. The Black Madonna embodies the sacred feminine, where sexuality meets spirituality. Long rejected by patriarchal systems, her energy now demands conscious recognition. She represents nature impregnated by spirit, the redemption of matter itself. In dreams, she might cradle us with unprecedented love or show strict discipline, like when she appeared munching carrots, demanding to know where the dreamer's pearls were. Finding them discarded in a ditch, she declared, "You weren't taking care of them. I won't bring them back again. Next time, it's up to you." Feminine wisdom and value must now be consciously reclaimed. Alongside her, Sophia personifies feminine wisdom, rooted in experience and compassion rather than abstract thought. She thinks with her heart, valuing not the presence of power, but the power of presence. Her wisdom grows organically, embracing both beauty and horror as she dances in the flames. She bridges divine and human, serving as the eye of the hurricane, without whom there is no dance. Call her Sophie, Anna, or Buffalo Woman, but call her. Invoke this transformative feminine wisdom that turns opposition into paradox, craving movement, breath, touch, and creation, body opening to spirit, illumination rising from icy waters. Depending on partners for wholeness invites betrayal and disappointment. True wholeness comes from integrating masculine and feminine aspects within us, regardless of gender. When we first fall helplessly in love, we're actually loving our own projected image. After many such projections, we recognize we've been falling in love with ourselves all along. Receptivity, intuition, and loving presence align with feminine spirituality, while initiative, discernment, and mental clarity connect to masculine spirituality. Many women have developed strong masculine qualities to succeed in a patriarchal world while neglecting feminine wisdom. Many men have suppressed vulnerability while overemphasizing control. This inner marriage requires ongoing attention. Learning to let our masculine aspect protect but not dominate our feminine wisdom, while our feminine aspect nourishes but doesn't overwhelm our masculine strength. When balanced, our outer relationships transform. No longer seeking completion from partners, we can truly see and appreciate them for who they are, capable of love that enhances rather than completes, that celebrates rather than needs. In a world that fragments us into competing parts, body versus mind, feeling versus thinking, masculine versus feminine, we've forgotten that wholeness was always our birthright. Your body isn't a vehicle for your soul to transcend. It's the sacred ground where soul takes root. The wisdom you seek isn't hidden in some distant guru or perfect partner. It's singing in yourselves, breathing in your chest, waiting for you to finally come home. The journey isn't about becoming someone new. It's about remembering who you've always been.